Good morning, committee, or whoever happens to be here. The Ethics and Elections Subcommittee is called to order. Will the administrative assistant please call the roll?
Chair Pasadomo.
Here.
Representatives Ahern, Baxley.
Here.
Cleland.
Here.
Cruz.
Here.
Vice Chair Diaz. Representative Edwards. Holder. Hooper.
Here.
Peters. Rooney.
Here.
Williams. Workman.
Here.
Do we have a quorum? Yes, he did.
Yes.
He's here. All right, we have a quorum. Today we have two bills on our agenda. First, we'll hear House Bill 609, the Article 5 Constitutional Convention by Representative Wood. Representative Wood, you are recognized to explain your bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. As the Chair said, House Bill 609 may be cited as the Article 5 Constitutional Convention Act. This bill creates a statutory structure that applies when a U.S. Constitution Article 5 Convention is called for the purpose of proposing amendments to the Constitution of the United States. The Article 5 Constitutional Convention Act establishes statutory requirements for delegate selection to an Article 5 Convention. It establishes that the power for appointing and recalling Florida's delegates to an Article 5 Convention is vested with the Florida Legislature and requires delegates to take an oath to uphold the state and U.S. constitutions and abide by any instructions given to the delegates by the Florida Legislature. It establishes Florida's intentions to send two delegates and two alternative delegates to an Article 5 convention. The Article 5 Constitutional Convention Act strictly limits the authority of Florida's delegates to an Article 5 Amendments Convention. Provisions guarding against a so-called runaway convention include requiring that the Florida legislature adopt a binding resolution governing the rules of procedure for Florida's delegates, providing that a vote cast by a delegate or alternative that is outside the instructions established by the Florida legislature or exceeds the subject matter limits established by the Florida legislature resolution calling for the Article 5 convention is void. Provides that a delegate or alternative who votes or attempts to vote outside the instructions established by the Florida legislature or the subject matter limits established by the Florida legislature's memorial calling for the Article 5 convention forfeits his or her appointment and is guilty of a felony of the third degree. Makes clear that the Florida legislature's application calling for the Article 5 convention ceases to be active and is rendered ineffective if all of the delegates and alternatives vote or attempt to vote outside of the instructions established by the Florida legislature or subject matter limits established by the Florida legislature's memorial calling for the Article 5 convention. And finally, establishes an advisory committee that a delegate can consult if he or she has a question about whether a vote or other action would violate the instructions established by the Florida legislature or exceed the subject matter limits established by the Florida legislature's memorial calling for the Article 5 convention. Madam Chair, I'd like to address two issues raised in the bill analysis. The first one states it is unclear how this statute would or could bind the convention once a vote is cast and is final according to the rules of the convention. I would reply that this proposed statute does not bind the convention. It just binds our Florida delegates, and that would be found in sections 14, 15, and 16 of the bill. The other comment was it is unclear who is authorized to determine that a delegate or alternate delegate's vote is beyond the scope of the legislature's instructions or what procedures must be followed. And I, again, would refer the members of the committees to section 18, 19, and 20 dealing with the advisory group. I think it is clear that this group, the advisory group, which is one attorney appointed by the President of the Senate, another by the Speaker of the House, and those two attorneys choosing a third attorney that's the chair, would be able to give legal advice to the group and instruct the Attorney General when there's an attempt to vote outside of the instructions of the memorial. And that, Madam Chair, is the bill, and I'm open for questions.
Thank you, Representative Wood, for your presentation. Are there any members Representative Ahern.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Why is this necessary?
This is necessary, Representative, because of the fact that there is a strong likelihood that there will be an Article 5 convention at some time in the foreseeable future. Even though there has never been one in the history of our country, I think there is a growing concern in our nation and in our state about the inability of Washington to control their power, specifically their ability to deficit spend. So this is a way of us establishing, in the event of a convention, that we know we're prepared and we know how we're going to control our delegates.
Follow up.
So is this bill, it looks like it's narrowing the scope of what can be discussed or what can be determined at a convention. Is that, am I reading that correctly?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yes, I think that's a fair analysis in terms of the legislature will determine the scope of what these delegates can and cannot vote for at a convention. And it's a way to make sure that the legislature's will is expressed at such a convention.
Any other questions? You're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Why isn't this being done via constitutional amendment versus a statute?
You're recognized.
I guess it could be put in the Constitution, but it's certainly not necessary to be put in the Constitution. And in fact, I think the way we have proposed with the statute is the most appropriate manner to express the will of the legislature.
Follow up.
If in a summary analysis, if it's accurate, and I believe staff to have done the research in most appropriate manner. No constitutional convention has ever been called under the current Constitution. Why is this necessary? Is this just a further expansion of government? Are we just spinning our wheels here? I mean, why, if there's never been a constitutional convention called, why do we need this now? Why not leave that up to the executive powers of the governor and the speaker and the Senate president whenever this convention is called, if it is ever called?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. For me, the power of the people of Florida is vested in this body, in the legislature. And I think it's very important that we establish clearly that authority. And that's what this statute does. You're correct. We have never had an Article 5 convention in the history of the nation under the present Constitution. But again, as I've stated, there is growing concern throughout our state and throughout the country about the power and control of the federal government. In fact, our founding fathers put this provision in the Constitution as really an emergency cord so that when a central government became so overpowering that it could not control itself, which I think we all would agree, it's very difficult viewing what is happening in Washington to believe that Washington can fix itself. So for many, this is the only solution that we have is a convention of the states. And I foresee it happening within the next 5 years. That's just a speculation, but I think it's necessary. I think it's clear that we need to be prepared in the event that it happens.
Final follow-up? Two follow-ups?
Yes, ma'am. Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Wood, when you let me go back. Where did this language for this bill originate? And then, I guess, as a follow-up, how many states, you may have done this in your opening, how many states have adopted this type of language or some type of language similar to this?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and that's a good question. So far, to my knowledge, the only state that has adopted a similar type of statute is the state of Indiana, and they did that last year. It's my understanding that a number of states have a similar type bill under consideration at the present time. The language of this bill, the way we looked at it, is based on the Indiana statute. We took the Indiana statute, we looked at, you know, Indiana's a different state than Florida, has different institutions. We looked how it would apply. And in fact, in the last committee, we made some amendments based on staff recommendation to address some constitutional issues that I was happy to do. So I believe that answers your question.
Anyone else on the committee? Is there any public testimony? Oh, I'm sorry, Representative Clallon.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Rep. Wood, I'm curious with regard to the criminal penalties that might be imposed on delegates who vote or attempt to vote outside of the instructions of the legislature. Would those votes actually count, and why the need for a criminal penalty, particularly a felony?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think by putting this criminal penalty in, the legislature makes very clear that undertaking the responsibility of a delegate is a sacred responsibility. You take an oath. If you violate it, there are serious repercussions. So I think it's appropriate that the penalty be in there, and that anyone that we choose, that this body chooses to be a delegate, understands the seriousness of that responsibility.
Follow up. Thank you, Madam Chair. You anticipate, as you just testified, one of these conventions being called within the next 5 years based on what you see in Washington as, I won't put words into your mouth. Do you also anticipate a change in the makeup of the Florida legislature?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And that's a good question, because this statute would apply whether Republicans or Democrats are in charge. And to your point, I don't view this bill as partisan. What's happened in Washington has happened under Democrats and has happened under Republicans. And it's not a question of party. It's a question of the institutions in Washington that, in my opinion, need change. And I'm obviously my biggest change, I think, and the most simple change, and the one that I think is supported by a vast majority of the American people, is a balanced budget requirement. That would be a total game changer in Washington. If we had the balanced budget, they would not be allowed to continue this trillion-dollar deficit where we are mortgaging our young generation's future to an unsustainable financial system. So I hope I've answered your question.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. I'm curious that you've put so much thought into the goings-on in Washington, and wondered if, with regard to this bill, whether you've put the same, if any, thought into the current makeup of the Florida legislature.
You're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Again, I don't really – this bill is meant to be nonpartisan. It's not meant to be applicable to a Republican legislature or to a Democratic legislature. In my lifetime, I've experienced both, and I think the issues that we're talking about transcend party. So that's – I hope that answers your question.
We have one quick – Final question from Representative Flynn.
Thank you for your lenience, Madam Chair. Representative Wood, what happens if this bill doesn't pass? Could this occur without a bill? I mean, do we need a bill for this to occur? If the Article 5 convention is called, do we need this?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. You know, we all introduce bills. There's a small likelihood that they become law, but I feel strongly that this legislature needs to establish the parameters of if there is an Article 5 convention, how we want to select and control our delegates. So I know that, you know, you're saying, well, if we had an Article 5 convention and we didn't have this statute, what would we do?
Exactly.
I guess we would be meeting in special session and wondering about how we control them. But I think it's I think it's reasonable to lay this structure out, because the application for a convention goes hand in hand with this. In other words, we need to give the people of Florida the assurance that if we have a convention, we're prepared for it.
Okay, we have two members of the public that wish to speak. We'll start with Mr. Dunn.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just to let you know where I stand, I'm against an Article 5 convention based on I don't believe it's the proper solution for the problems that we're addressing. For example, a balanced budget amendment won't necessarily address, I don't believe it will address at all, unconstitutional spending by the current Congress. Congress already violates its limitations within the current document. I think adding additional language won't necessarily create Congress that will abide by their oath once we amend the Constitution. Specifically for this bill, though, I believe that there's several issues. Setting that aside, there's several issues with this bill that problems could arise for us as a state. For example, if we decide to bind our delegates and issues came up at a convention where they were not allowed to address, whether oppose or support, we could be faced with several issues that were voted on. For example, the state of Hawaii pushed for an Article 5 convention in 2012. One of the five items listed on there was to repeal or modify the Second Amendment. Whether you're for that or against that, fact remains, if we bind our delegates not to address that issue, then you could have a minimum number of states that vote on it and can pass things that we don't particularly like. Excuse me, I'm nervous. But another instance would be a new ratification process. If they wanted to vote on changing the ratification process and we bind our delegates from participating in discussion or voting on that issue, again, we could end up, silence in Florida's voice. I think that's a big concern. The other item I'd like to bring up is the idea of a closed versus open convention. The Philadelphia Convention in 1787 was a closed convention. They voted on May 29th to keep the deliberations a secret, and they were successful in doing so. On September 15th, 2 days before the convention had ended, George Mason had commented that they had created this new constitution without the knowledge of the people. Probably most of you are familiar with the comment by Benjamin Franklin when he exited the convention. A lady asked him, what have you given us? And he said, a republic, ma'am, if you can keep it. Just again, another point that the people had no clue what had taken place. On September 17th, they actually voted on what to do with the journals of the convention. They actually voted whether to destroy them or to keep them a secret. They did not want to release them to the public because they believe that if they did, it would prohibit the ratification of the new constitution. James Madison's notes, which is probably the most complete source for us to understand what took place at the Philadelphia Convention, was not released until 1837, a year after his death and 50 years after the convention had ended. So we had no idea what had taken place in that convention, either during the convention, immediately after it, and again, it wasn't until 50 years later. So if they decide to have a closed convention, then the issue of trying to monitor our delegates may be difficult, if not impossible. So we may not be able to hold them accountable. It may seem a little far-fetched, but there was there was a Mount Vernon assembly in Mount Vernon in December of last year. Legislators attended that. It was closed. Only the state legislators were allowed to be present. We have yet to see a video recording of it or anything about what actually took place. No, members of the Senate and House that attended it from Florida have shared some of the information, but again, it wasn't an open meeting. So those are just a couple of items with this bill that I think that it would be prudent for us to hold off and maybe address some of these issues, or even, as Mr. Representative Williams, mentioned, maybe not even introduce this. We could proceed with an Article 5 convention if called without this particular bill and binding the Florida delegates. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Dunn. Next, we have Mr. Dunn. We have a question from Representative Williams.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. You seem like you're probably the foremost expert on this issue, at least in this room today.
I don't know about that.
Can you share with me other states that have attempted to pass this such legislation, and what was the outcome?
There have been.
You're recognized.
I'm sorry. There have been some states that have introduced this type of bill. The only one that I'm aware of, I don't think any states have passed this. I do know that one state, Virginia, I think voted against it. They voted this type of bill down. So I am aware of one state that said no to this. I'm not aware of any states that have passed it as of yet.
Thank you, Mr. Dunn. Next up, we have Mr. Webb, who represents singlesubjectamendment.com. You're recognized, Mr. Webb.
Thank you, Madam Chairman and members of the committee. My name is Spider Webb. I'm CEO and founder of Single Subject Amendment. We are a nonprofit 527 committee. That means we are a independent expenditure only committee, more commonly known as a super PAC. We are registered with the Federal Election Commission. We registered March 1 of 2013. And our headquarters are here in Tallahassee, 267 John Knox Road, Suite 100. And our website is www.singlesubjectamendment.com. And our mission is to amend the United States Constitution to add what could be the 28th Amendment. And that language would read something to the effect, Congress shall pass no bill, and no bill shall become law, which embraces more than one subject, that subject to be clearly expressed in the bill's title. I'll just take a moment to explain the connection here to this delegates bill. 41 states have a single subject title provision in their state constitution. Florida does too, of course. But this provision is missing in the United States Constitution. And when this amendment is adopted, riders will be eliminated constitutionally, which means that pork barrel spending, log rolling, earmarking would be curtailed. We'll get a member of Congress to introduce a joint resolution because there's only two ways to amend the Constitution, one by Congress and one by that's joint resolution adopted by two-thirds vote of each House. We'll get a member of Congress to introduce a joint resolution, but it will never see the light of day. This is part of congressional power. But the framers of our Constitution provided a go-around in case Congress would not act on something that they should act on. Congress will never pass a bill or propose a constitutional amendment. So the Article 5 convention mechanism is our only option. Now, there's three Article 5 convention bills being considered by the Florida legislature, three of them. One is ours. It's a representative in the House, Representative Beshears. Senator Simpson is the companion bill. And then there's two other Article 5 convention bills. One is the Convention of States bill. I believe that's Representative Metz. And Senator Hayes in the Senate, And that is taking an Article 5 convention to consider three subjects: fiscal matters, unfunded mandates, and term limits for Congress. And then there is the Representative Wood's bill, and the companion bill is the balanced budget. And your Stargell is Senator Stargell has the companion bill in the Senate. Now, on this bill, it is essential that the state of Florida pass a delegates bill before an Article 5 convention. Period. It's got to pass. It must pass. You're dealing with very serious matters when there are issues about a limited convention, a runaway convention. Each legislature must have a delegates bill, period. And if I might add, Keith Dunn, representing John Birch Society, made a point about the Philadelphia Convention being essentially a runaway convention. Now, there's debate about that. But that is not... that is not something this country needs to deal with. And you can't deal with it unless you have a delegates bill to make sure that delegates stay on subject. That's the simple answer to that. And if anyone has any questions, I'll be happy to answer a question.
Sorry, I didn't have my microphone. No more questions. All right, members, we're in debate. Is there any debate? Start with Representative Ahern.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Representative Wood, for bringing this bill forward. I think it is necessary, as we heard, and I think it's something that we will be addressing as we seek the federal level and its abuse of the powers that we've given it, that the states have given it, and we need to rein them in. And I think this goes a long way to setting up the framework for what ultimately I think has to happen, and that's a constitutional convention. So I'm going to vote for the bill today, and I applaud your efforts.
Representative Williams.
Thank you. My friend, Representative Wood, I'm going to disagree with you and even my friend from Tallahassee, Mr. Webb, that we must have it, we got to have it, you know, type of mentality. I think that given the extreme circumstances that our country would find themselves in if an Article 5 convention were called, I'm confident in the Republic that was discussed earlier, that we could find a way to make sure all our delegates are seated in a proper fashion. I believe if we can seat our delegates for a Republican or Democratic convention, I'm sure we can seat our delegates for an Article 5 convention. What does concern me is what all of us are talking about and what we all see on TV is the dysfunction in Washington. And we're starting to see even that trickle down to the states, even to in some locales, the local city commission and county commissions. But, you know, I would almost say that, you know, if we're going to get involved in the affairs of Washington and try and propose the delegates and confine them to, you know, what they can and cannot say if that was ever called, I think that's a slippery slope. I would almost ask for the local governments to have some form or some measure to call the state legislature into assembly on certain issues that they have great concern with, but we know that doesn't happen. And so, you know, with that, although well-intentioned, I think there are some things that need to be fixed in Washington, but I think there are a lot more things that need to be fixed here in Florida. So I'm going to encourage my members to vote no on this bill that you brought before us today, because of the fact that I believe we can do without it, and our state, I believe, will have the opportunity, if ever called, the ability to seat the delegates and make sure they're given the proper instructions to perform their task. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Representative Hooper.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chairman. Representative Wood, you have succeeded in one way. You've made us think deeply at this hour of the morning, so I thank you for that, I think. Members, this has been an interesting read and study and listening exercise about, I tend to agree with Representative Wood, I think the day will come in our lifetime that the possibility of a convention call will occur. And I'm sitting here trying to listen to the sponsor present his bill and the questions asked and the public testimony, thinking, let's just assume that someday that happens and there is no process. I imagine, as we have seen in our state specifically, 67 different executive committees of whoever is in power scrambling to get their people assigned to be a delegate or alternate. The legislature, the every special interest group in a state having, for lack of a better term to use, a food fight to get appointed. It's important that while this may not be the perfect process, there's a need to have a process. And while some future legislature may decide that they've come up with a better way to do this, this is what we have to deal with today, and I think it's important that with that possibility looming and the continued actions or lack of actions occasionally at our nation's capital, that there ought to be some process. And I think you've laid out, while I agree with Representative Clellan and somewhat in the penalty, is that makes people take serious intentions well and pay attention. I'm going to support your bill because I really believe that there needs to be at least a well-thought-out, laid-out process to appoint delegates. Thank you, Madam Chairman.
Any further debate? Seeing none, Representative Wood, you are recognized to close on your bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and I want to thank the committee for hearing the bill and your comments and discussion. I guess, in summary, the only thing that I'm that appears to be happening, and this happened at the last committee, and I'm getting a feeling it might happen at this committee, is that it's becoming a partisan issue. And it really isn't a partisan issue. It's really about the relationship of the American people to our federal government. And I think that transcends party, and as Representative Hooper says, the beauty of our system is the legislature meets every year. If circumstances change and a better process is developed, we can certainly address that in the future. But it is important, and it probably is essential, that we put a process in place so that people know where this legislature stands in the event of an Article 5 constitutional convention. And with that, Madam Chair, I close.
Thank you, Representative Wood. Would the administrative assistant please call the roll on HB 609?
Chair Pasadomo?
Yes.
Representative Ahern?
Yes.
Representative Baxley?
Yes.
Representative Cleland?
No.
Representative Cruz?
Yes.
Vice Chair Diaz?
Yes.
Representative Edwards? Representative Holder? Representative Hooper?
Yes.
Representative Peters? Representative Rooney?
Yes.
Representative Williams?
No.
Representative Workman?
Yes.
By your vote, HB 609 is reported favorably. Congratulations. Now we will turn to HB 571, Residency of Candidates and Public Officers. Representative Rodriguez, you are recognized to explain your bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair. On opening day of session, we voted and approved a joint rule with the Senate to provide a common definition of residency for the state Senate and the state representatives. What this bill does is it takes that definition and applies it to local government as well. That way, if there is a residency requirement in a local government, we'll be working from a common definition to the standard that we hold ourselves to. That is the bill.
Thank you, Representative Rodriguez. Any members, any questions? Is there any public testimony? Representative Rodriguez, you are... Oh, wait, is there any debate? I guess there's... No debate. Representative Rodriguez, you're recognized to close on your bill.
Wave close.
Thank you. Will the administrative assistant please call the roll on HB 571?
Chair Pasadena?
Yes.
Representative Zahern?
Yes.
Baxley?
Yes.
Cleland?
Yes.
Cruz?
Yes.
Vice Chair Diaz?
Yes.
Representatives Edwards? Hooper?
Yes.
Peters?
Yes.
Rooney?
Yes.
Williams?
Yes.
Workman?
Yes.
By your vote, HB 571 is reported favorably.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, Committee.
Congratulations. Members, this is the end of the meeting. Are there any comments, questions from any members? Ranking Member Cruz? With that, Ranking Member Cruz moves we rise. Without objection, the meeting is adjourned.